Today we're going to talk about a topic that is entitled The Spiritual Man. And as you look at your back of your bulletin, we'll be using passages that we read this week out of Romans and some passages out of Colossians. And our diagram is the spiritual man that's functioning spiritually. And I really hope that through a feeble effort at drawing a diagram, you could begin to glimpse a little bit of how we are designed to function in the ideal sense as believers. So, we covered last week that there really are two divine and distinct creations. This is by way of review. One of them is the natural man. We're all born natural men and related to Adam and the fall and the total depravity that Adam brought to our mankind is represented in the natural man. And in Abraham's life, Father Abraham, his first son, Ishmael, and it's interesting in our culture today that the sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac are still at war, and the conflict that we see in the Middle East is a wonderful illustration of these two dramatic and distinct different creations. And then we have the spiritual man that is Jesus, the last Adam, who was born of the Virgin, supernaturally conceived. He is this spiritual man, all man, and yet spiritual, all God. And that is also represented by Isaac, the second son of Abraham, who was supernaturally born. His mom and dad were way beyond the time of having children when he was born. So there's two divine and distinct creations. We talked about the natural man last week, and we'll talk about him a little more today. And last week we covered that the Bible says we consist of three parts, and from 1 Thessalonians 5:23, the Bible says, I pray that God, who gives peace, will make you completely holy, and your spirit and your soul and body will be kept healthy and flawless until the Lord Jesus returns. And when you look at your diagram there, what I tried to do in drawing three concentric circles was create an environment where you could see how God made you. It has a body, it has a soul, and it has a spirit in the center of it. So the purpose of our diagram today is an illustration of a person who has received Jesus Christ's graceful gift of salvation. This is someone who's born again, and they are submitted to the Holy Spirit. I heard a preacher boy say yesterday that we're really comfortable with God being everything but on His throne. And that the hardest thing for most Christians is to submit to God's Holy Spirit. So we're looking at an ideal Christian in this diagram. And it's basically got three parts to the diagram. There's the three interlocking circles. That is this born-again spiritual person. They have a body, they have a soul, they have a spirit. And then to the right of that, you see a crucified natural man. And then on the bottom is the text that describes it. This is a spiritual man. And then there's a semicolon. This is who this is. They are spiritual. And then in that little box, it says they are functioning spiritual. This person is regenerated. They have received the resurrection life of Christ. They are in the Spirit of God, and they are walking after the Spirit of God. Now, a lot of times people say, well, Wilmer, you get too hung up in all these technical things, but the fact of the matter is it's either truth or it's a lie. And I think that there is a single path, a single truth that God wants us to understand. And so I kind of get emphatic about some of these things. For example, the word in. We will talk in this diagram about having the Holy Spirit of God come into us. But really, that's the minor frame of reference in the Scriptures. When you look at the Scriptures and you talk about the Spirit of God, the vast majority of Scripture talks about us being in God's Spirit. The minority numerical scriptures talk about the Spirit of God being within us. And what God wants us to understand is the wealth and the value and the hugeness of who He is. Let me try to illustrate this in. Yesterday I was at a lady's 96th birthday party. My mother-in-law, we were celebrating her 96th birthday, and after the dinner was over, my nephew and I were talking about scuba diving in this one pond not far from Kewaunee. Now, when you go scuba diving, it's not normal swimming. Most people swim with their head out of the water, don't they? Most of them are in the water, but not all of them. But when you go scuba diving, when you go to the bottom of that ice-cold, spring-fed strip mine, you're completely immersed in the water. All of you is in it. But yet, who we are as a physical creature, most of what we are as a physical body is water. You realize that? 78% of who you are is water. You take the water away and you just got a little dirt. So, here we see a scuba diver who is immersed in the water, underneath of it, it's all around him, yet most of what he is filled with water. That's really the picture of us being in Christ. The ocean would be a greater illustration, and when you go scuba diving in the ocean, it's much better than scuba diving in a strip mine, and much warmer, most places as well. But anyway, I wanted you to understand that. And they're walking after the Spirit. They're following the Spirit of God. So let's take this apart. Where is God now? We understand God to be the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Three equal parts. So I drew that as an equilateral triangle, which is not my idea. It's actually a Jewish idea. But so in God in this diagram, where is He? In Romans chapter 8, verse 2, we read this week, that the Holy Spirit will give you life that comes from Christ Jesus and will set you free from sin and death. When we look at the natural man in the minute, you'll see in the spirit of a natural man, sin and death rule. But when God's Spirit comes into us, it sets us free from that restriction of sin and death in our spirit. So when you look at the spiritual part of this diagram, right in the center is this yellow circle on mine, and the copier didn't do that on yours, but there's this yellow circle that illustrates the Holy Spirit of God has come to reside within that person. And that Spirit brings life. At that moment when we are born again, we receive the Spirit of life. And we are no longer dead spiritually, but alive spiritually in our spiritual part. So where is God now? Well, the Holy Spirit resides within me. I actually have the same identical Spirit of God that Jesus had. This is the original document that I made all of your bulletins from. And it's different. It has color on it. Yours are just cheap facsimiles of that. They're cheap reproductions of the original. So, how do you believe about the Holy Spirit within you? Did you get the original one, the Spirit of God living within you, the perfect, pure, Holy Spirit of God living within you? Or did you get a cheap copy of that? You didn't get the real deal. I mean, you didn't really get God in you. You just kind of got a diluted version of it. See, I think that's what most Christians believe. Well, yeah, I'm born again, but I just didn't get everything that some other Christians did. Know people like that? Maybe that's you in your own life. Well, you know, some of these other people, they seem to just trust God and worship God and laugh about the troubles that they go through and be at peace and all this. But I don't think I really got that. You know those people? Maybe you live with one of them. Maybe you live in one of them. But the reality of what I'm trying to tell you is the Holy Spirit of God lives within you when you're born again. The real Spirit of God. And when God's Spirit comes into our spirit, we're born again and we become then a spiritual man or a spiritual woman. And we are regenerated and we are in God's Spirit. God's Spirit is within us and we are finally one with Him. Maybe a good way to illustrate that is our connection is better. We're always trying to improve our connection to the author and the creator and the sustainer of all of life. We're always purifying the connection so we get a better contact with Him and a better flow from Him. And then the other thing is, then we can function by either walking after the Spirit, which is the ideal and the best, or we can walk after the flesh, which is what I'm going to talk about the 27th when we get out of the park, is a spiritual man that walks after the flesh. Now, what makes me spiritual? Does the way I act, does my behavior, is that what makes me spiritual? In many religions, the way you act and the things you do is what makes you spiritual. When in the war in the Middle East, if you look at the two major religions there, the Judaism and the Arabs and their Muslim faith, they are radically different. If you're a Hebrew, you're born a Hebrew. But if you're Muslim, you have to do all of these spiritual activities in a perfect manner in order to become spiritual. And all of life in this religion or where Tyrone grew up, you know, and the Buddhist religion. If you do all these spiritual things correctly, then you become spiritual. So you have to understand in your mind, and there's many Christian religions that teach if you do all the right stuff, you're spiritual. And if you're not doing the right spiritual stuff, if you're not reading your Bible, if you're not praying, if you're not witnessing, if you're not offering, if you're not giving, if you're not taking communion, if you're not doing all this spiritual stuff, then you ain't spiritual. You know religions like that? You've seen churches, maybe you've even been a part of those churches. This church believes that what makes me spiritual is not what I do. It's God's Spirit in me, that's what makes me spiritual, not my behavior. But because the Spirit of God lives within me, and as that works its way out, my life will begin to behave in a pattern that's spiritual. Here's what I think happened years ago. Years ago, there were genuine born-again Christians who the Spirit of God flowed out of them in such a way that people said, look at that guy. He's really spiritual. We want to be like him. Let's see what he's doing. Scribe, write this down. He's reading his Bible. Write that down. Reading Bible. Now what's he doing? Oh my gosh, he's giving to the poor. Write that down quick. We should give to the poor. Now what's he doing? Well, he's witnessing about Jesus to other people. Write that down. We should be witnessing. Oh my goodness, he's going to church. Write that down. We've got to go to church. And they make this big list of all the stuff that a Christian's supposed to do. And if you do all the stuff on that list, then you're spiritual. It's hogwash. You can't make yourself spiritual. It's either all God or it ain't. Because if it's any of me, it ain't God. Poor grammar, correct theology. But what makes me spiritual is the Spirit of God living within me. So, there are two things that I need to know. First of all, what's my position? Where am I? Am I still in Adam? Am I still a natural man? A. Or B, have I become a spiritual man? Have I become born again? Has God's grace and amazing love so overwhelmed me that I've given myself over to Him, that I've surrendered to the salvation of Jesus? If you haven't, then maybe the Spirit's talking to you today and you need to become a spiritual man. And the second thing is, if I am spiritual, how am I functioning today, this moment? Am I walking after the Spirit or am I walking after the flesh? Every Sunday when Don prays for me, I pray that, Lord, it would be all you and not any of me. You know, that I would truly be walking after your Spirit as I do this. sometimes during the week as I'm developing these messages, I'm not always walking after the Spirit. Sometimes when things aren't going well, I'm kind of going after the flesh. So what happened to the natural man? Where is he? When we are born spiritually, our natural man is crucified. We have an identity now in Jesus Christ. We were in Adam, now we're in Jesus Christ. We're identified with His sinless life, His death on the cross, and His resurrection from the dead. The reality is, the old me that I used to be before I was born again is dead. It died. It's on the cross. Here's a diagram from last week. You see the body doing the works of the flesh. You see the soul there with the mind darkened and the emotions twisted and the will enslaved. And in the center of it, in the spirit, sin and death rule in that person. And God is abstract from that person. Well, in today's diagram, you see that person tacked to a cross. Nailed to a cross with Jesus Christ. I'm identified with Jesus' death. And in that, I died also. Here's what the Bible says in Romans 6, 5 through 7. And we just read this week as we read through the Bible. For if we have become united with Him in the likeness of His death, certainly we will also be in the likeness of His resurrection. Now Romans 6, 6. Think about this. Knowing this, that our old self was crucified with Him, in order that our body of sin might be done away with, so we would no longer be slaves to sin. For he who has died is freed from sin. I need to know the fact that the old part of me, the old man, died and a new man started inside of my spirit. I am a new spiritual being. And I need to reckon that, know that sin is dead. I have a kind of a off-colored illustration. I've had a problem this year at my home with coons. I have coons that have decided to eat my cat food. I have a series of wild cats. You can't catch them. You can't touch them. They're wild. And they live in the pine trees and around my house, and I feed them. Because I like them around there because they eat mice. My wife doesn't like mice. And they eat gophers. Moles. Unfortunately, they kill my snakes, too. I keep bringing snakes home to kill the bugs in my garden, and the cats keep playing with them, and they just play with them until they don't move. Anyway, these coons kept getting into my cat food. And if you forget to leave the garage doors closed, you remember to leave them open, the coons get in there, and they dump out all the cat food and strew it all over. And I was complaining to my brother about that, and he says, well, you know, I had trouble with coons, too, and I bought these 5 live traps. He wants you to just take one of these live traps home and trap them. It doesn't sound hard. Just put some cat food in the coon trap, and when they walk in there, then I'll take them someplace and let them go. So, first night, set it out. There's this big old mama coon in there. I thought, well, I'll put her in the back of my old camouflage truck and take her someplace and get rid of her. I go to pick up the cage, and good gracious almighty, is she ticked off. There is nothing like a female coon that's mad at you. And I said, well, I ain't opening the door to that thing. So I went in and got a .22 rifle and stuck it in through the things of the cage. And she bit onto the end of it. And I pulled the trigger. And well, then I had to figure out something to do with a dead coon. So I went out to the back of my yard and grabbed her by the tail and flung her about 6 rows out into the cornfield. Well, this went on for 7 nights in a row. And the last one was a big old male that was 48 pounds at least. And I had to do a 360 to fling him into the corn. I barely got him over the 9-foot high corn. He's only 3 rows in. Well, I tell you all that story to tell you that 2 days this week I mowed grass when it was dark. I mowed my yard Tuesday night in the dark. And when I went down along the edge of that cornfield in the back of my yard, and them 7 coons have been laying out there in the hot sun for a little over a week, it didn't smell like fresh corn out there. You know? I come to the conclusion, it doesn't matter whether you stick a coon or a human into a body bag, they stink when they're dead. It just smells terrible. And there was no doubt in my mind that them coons was dead and their temptation to eat my cat food was over. And after 7 of them, they quit filming the trap. So I think they're all gone now. But they're dead. They no longer have to deal with the temptation to rob my cat food. See, you and I are crucified with Christ. The old part of me that liked to lie, that liked to steal, that liked to do wrong things is dead. It's as dead as them coons in my cornfield. But you got to reckon, believe it to be dead. If you just think with it, if you thought you were dead, would your struggles with sin be over? Yeah. Several of us have grieved the loss of family members in the past year. They no longer struggle with the stuff we struggle with because they're dead. You can reckon yourselves dead to sin. So, is my old self really dead? Yeah. Yeah, it really is. And when I believe that to be true, I function as if it's true. What I believe affects my behavior. Does that make sense? What I believe affects my behavior. If I believe my old sinful natural man is dead, then I don't want to mess around with dead stuff. It's not even any fun throwing the dead coons into the cornfield. It's yucky. I hate to do it. There's no other way to get them out of the cage. Jules won't do it. So when you look at this diagram, then the old man is over there crucified. He's separate. There's a new me. And it's functioning correctly. So in this new me, the soul part of this spiritual man, the soul consists of my mind, will, and emotions, and my mind is being renewed, my will is choosing the truth, and my emotions are being under control. I actually experience peace, joy, love, patience, kindness, gentleness all the time when I'm functioning spiritually. In today's reading, Romans 12, when you read that, we read 12:1 earlier, it says, don't be conformed to the world, but continually let God transform you inwardly by the renewing of your mind so that you will be able to determine what God's will is, what is proper, pleasing, and perfect. One of the best things that Mr. Anderson does in this book, Victory Over the Darkness, one of the best things that he does in here is communicates to you how to renew your mind to think like I'm trying to explain to you. And that's why I want you to read this book. It's actually renewing the way you think. Because if you just think about it, if I think that old part of me that wanted to sin is dead, what am I doing running around with dead stuff? The new part of me in the inside wants life and peace. Now, when we look at our physical body, remember we talked about our physical body basically being of three parts, bones, fluids, and tissue. So in this spiritual man, my body part then in Romans 8:11 says, but if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give you life in your mortal bodies through the Holy Spirit that dwells within you. This life begins in the very core of me, in the spiritual part of me, and works its way out. The same Spirit of the Father that raised Jesus from the dead will do this in my mortal body. Will give me the same ability to have victory over sin that Jesus had. Romans 12:1, we looked at that earlier, didn't we, in our offering. Don't present your bodies anymore to sin. But present them to God as a living sacrifice. In Romans 6:12-13, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body. Let me just read that again. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And do not go on presenting your members of your body to sin as instruments for unrighteousness, but present yourself to God as those alive from the dead and your members of instruments of righteousness to God. Don't let it rule. You don't have to sin. You don't have to walk after the flesh. You don't have to live the way you... Don't let it rule. So when you look at this diagram, then you can see that spiritual part has God in it. Our soul is functioning differently. Our mind is being renewed. Our will is choosing the will of God. Our emotions are functioning at peace. And here's the way it works for me. When I'm looking inwardly to Christ for life, when my mind is looking at the Spirit, thinking about the things of heaven rather than the things of earth, I function spiritually. And when my will is looking internally to choose the Father's will, what is my Father's will in this? That's the passion of my life, to do what the Father's will is for me. Father, what is that? But the reality is, if I'm not looking inwardly and if I'm not seeking that and if not, I'm not connected to the Spirit, God's still small voice is mute to me. You need to look inwardly to that. And it's the same way with my emotions. When I'm looking inward to the Spirit of God, then I exemplify and experience peace. When Jesus rose from the dead and he would appear in closed rooms, he didn't do what I would like to do if I had that. I'd like to go in there and say, boo! You know, just for fun. My brother and I spent years making my sister scream. You know, it was one of the favorite games when there was no other toys to play, pick on Marilyn and make her scream. You know, scare her. That's the old natural me. What did Jesus do when he went into those closed rooms? What did he say? Peace be with you. Be happy. Look at me. Look to me. Look what God's done in me. Look what we can do together. See, and we can do that with our emotions. We can look internally to Christ for everything, which is a really cute little acrostic. If you write the word life, L-I-F-E, if you look internally to Christ for everything, that's where life comes from. It's not looking outside. In 2 weeks, when we talk about the spiritual man functioning carnally, functioning after the flesh, he looks outside more than he looks inside. That's why he does it. So, what happened to sin's power? In Romans 6:14, it says, "For sin shall not be master over you, Wilmer, for you are not under the law, but under grace." I'm under God's grace, so sin's power in me is broken. And you look at the bottom of your diagram there, that sin is still resides in the body. This body of mine will always have some sin in it. And that's why it doesn't get to go to heaven with me. Julie gave me a great illustration this week she got from Beth Moore. Beth Moore was sharing to her, you know, when we walk out of this body into God's presence, it's just like we take off a coat and drop it behind us and walk into a new coat, a robe of righteousness. But it's basically, you know, just like you drop your robe off and get into the shower. That's what leaving this life is like. You leave this body of with sin in it behind, and you get a new body when you go into heaven. But it's really just like taking off this coat and putting on a robe of righteousness. Sin's power in me is broken. I don't have to sin anymore. Now, will the devil and the world still try to entice the sin in my body? You see the devil and the world out there poking at me? Will they still do that? Yeah. Will sin and the world and the devil try to entice my flesh? Sure. Sure they will. But here's the truth. Even though sin's power is broken in me, and God knows it, and the devil and his helpers know it, but if I'm deceived and I don't know it, I can act as if it's not true. You need to know the truth, believe the truth, think the truth, choose the truth, reflect the truth in your emotions. But if you don't know it, you'll function like a natural man and you'll walk after your flesh. And we'll talk about that more in a week or so. So, let me wrap this up. Here's what I want you to do. Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regards to its lust. Put on the Lord Jesus. Look internally to the Spirit for that. In Colossians 3:9-11, it says, "Don't lie to one another, since you laid aside the old self and the evil practices. Put on the new self." Put on this new person who is being renewed to a true knowledge according to the image of the one who created him. A renewal in which there is no distinction between Greek and Jew, circumcised, uncircumcised, barbarian, Sicilian, slave, free man. But Christ is all in all. So what I want you to do is to focus on Christ. Here's the conclusion. Have you become a spiritual man or a woman? Have you responded to God's amazing, graceful gift? If you haven't, and you're thinking about that today, it may be His Spirit calling you. Does this diagram accurately describe your walk, my walk with the Lord? Is this the way I function? Do I know these things to be true, and do I think about these things to be true in our lives? As we go into our breakout sessions, talk about those things.